Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome back to How to Be Sound, a podcast about people who are sounder than me, presented by Rosemary McCabe. That's also me. We've had a little bit of a week break between episodes because there were audio conferences on and there was a bit of a guest reschedule. I have some very exciting guests coming up, so I'm hoping that you're going to stick with me throughout our second season. Yeah, I will tell you more about them when I can. I am a one-time journalist and blogger and writer. I'm working in social media at the moment, but I'm also doing a lot of writing on my Patreon, and you can support me for as little as, I think, like $1 a month if you want. The gold standard is $4 a month, which will be about the price of a fancy coffee. So if you feel like supporting me, you can do that at patreon.com/RosemaryMcCabe. Today's episode features Nessa Cronin, owner and, I mean, is it just owner of Vanity Fair Boutique in Newport, like CEO?
No, I'm just the owner.
Do you like girl boss?
No, I hate girl boss.
I hate that term as well.
Yeah.
Nessa, thank you so much for taking the time
to be
with us.
You're so welcome, Rosemary.
So I wanted to start by talking about how we first met.
Okay.
Right, so we had interacted a little bit on social media. Yeah, a little bit of a chat back and forward. And then you asked me to come in to do one of your, what do you call them, like try-on sessions?
Yeah. I mean, I still haven't thought of a proper name for them really, but yeah, and try-on sessions.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, what are these try-on sessions and what do they involve and why did you decide to do them?
Okay, basically I ask people who have an Instagram, or it used to be a Snapchat, started off as a Snapchat following, now an Instagram following, to come in and try on clothes. And I like to have people of different ages, different heights, different sizes, different colour hair, whatever, you know, just to come in and try on a selection of clothes so that my customers and people who follow me can see how the clothes might look like on them if they happen to look like that person. Because so much of advertising and images you get from suppliers and stuff like that are all on either a size 8 to 10 model who's absolutely stunning and gorgeous and is 5'10" and is fabulous, or for our plus size range, because we cover size 8 to 28 in the shop. So again, for our plus size, and again, that's a term, you know, that's, I don't know how I feel about it, but whatever.
Yeah.
But for our plus size range, our curvy range, again, the images will all be on a size 16 model, whereas I have size 24 customers.
And sometimes even 12 and 14,
absolutely,
to be fair. Plus size modelling is mad.
It's madness, absolute madness. So I wanted to, I was trying on clothes myself, but I'm at size 12 to 14. So I was noticing that, you know, my size 18, my size 20 customer would say, that's lovely on you, but I can't judge that on me, you know. And I was saying, absolutely, fair enough. So I just started asking people. It was also, you know, it wasn't all about the good of the customer. It was also that I was trying to build my own following on Instagram, you know. So what better way, I thought, than asking people who had a following to share my page and blah, 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 and come in and try on clothes. So it's been working.
And who was the first person you had in?
The first person I had in, well, I suppose it started a couple of years ago on Snapchat, and it kind of happened organically, in that Sinead's Curvy Style is a model who, well, she's a blogger, but she, when I first met her, she was just modelling. And she was a model that I used to use for my TV work and stuff like that, and Ireland AM and things like that. So she was growing as a blogger, let's say, and or an influencer, whatever the term is. And she had a quite a large Snapchat following. So when she would be down in my shop doing a modelling so that I could get photographs on my website, she was showing bits on her Snapchat, and the phone would ring off the hook then.
Okay,
and I was like, okay, this is, there's something in this. So I kind of started on Snapchat then myself, and then it grew from her. Then Sinead from The Beautiful Truth, I had kind of been messaging her, and she's extremely supportive and lovely person. I don't know why she's so nice to me, but she is. I asked her, would she like to come in for a try on? And it just kind of grew then. Then people that I enjoyed following. Now, some people have said no to me. A lot of people have said no to me.
Oh, my God. Can you name any names? I want to know who said no.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Okay.
But what have their reasons been for saying no?
That they wouldn't be comfortable.
Okay, that's interesting.
That, and again, regardless of size, wouldn't be comfortable, mm-hmm. you know. There's a size 10 to 12 girl who I'd love to have in, and she just is like, no, it's just, I just couldn't do it. So, you know, yeah, whatever.
But it's not that, like, because basically I remember when you first asked me to come in and do it, uh-huh. and I remember having a conversation with you where I was kind of going, oh, well, you know, how will it work? Because I was kind of wondering, is it an ad? Am I going to charge you for it? Uh-huh. And I remember you saying, well, I'm happy to give you some efforts or tell me what your rate is,
yeah,
and then we can chat about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, have you had anyone come back and go, yeah, it'll be $3,000? And you're like, no, thanks.
No.
Damn it. I'm always looking for like
no,
a bit of scandal.
I haven't. But then again, I'm sure there are people that would say that to me, but I haven't asked them.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned that when Sinead came in, the phone was going off the hook.
Yeah.
What has the general reaction been like to the try-on sessions?
Great, you know, we sell clothes, but it's not just like over the phone instant. I think Sinead, probably because she is a fashion blogger, and other people that I've asked kind of aren't really fashion bloggers, to be honest. With her, it is kind of more immediate and instant, mm-hmm. whereas with other people, you know, you just see it over a longer stretch of time that people come in and say, oh, I started following you because I saw, you know, such a person in your shop, or, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what the difference with her really, but it was pretty instant. Yeah.
So a lot of obviously what you're doing on social media is online in the sense that it's on the internet.
Yes.
But you don't sell online.
No.
And why is that?
I just don't want to. And I'm stubborn like that. I'm just really stubborn. I know one day I probably will have to. And I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face, because it's just a notion that I got a couple of years ago that I wasn't going to do this, and I'm still not going to do this, and I probably should be doing it. Like, I definitely know I would be selling more if I was, particularly because, but through my social media, I don't believe, you know, it would be directly because of social media that if they had a swipe up link thing to click to, I would definitely sell more items, 100%.
Yeah.
But I just believe it is kind of a soulless way. Like, fashion for me is very personal and individual, and it's not just about a necessity of needing something to wear. It's, you know, to me, online selling is just soulless, really. And I do believe it has brought about the closure of a lot of businesses, and I believe it will bring about the closure of a lot more businesses. I don't know if there's a long-term future in Vanity Fair for me. Like, quite honestly, I don't. I don't really think there is.
Without going online, or even with going online?
Even with going online, I think the whole retail, independently owned retail landscape is changing, and it's changing very fast. Mm. And it's getting harder and harder and harder. And look, you know, I hate to say I'm never going to sell online, but I probably will one day have to.
Yeah.
I'm delaying it for as long as I can, you know.
And what is it about the online shopping, I guess, experience, or the online shopping industry that you don't like?
I don't like the fast fashion element of it, mainly. I don't like here's the thing, you have to have it, and you swipe up and you get it. I think you definitely buy a lot more than you actually need. Then if you, like, we sell over the phone. A lot of people say to me, you know, I don't have time, I'm busy, I work 60 hours a week. My weekends, I don't want to go shopping. I want to be able to spend it with my family. And I get that totally. Or, you know, I can't phone you because I'm working. And, you know, so I get that it's a lot less convenient for people to have to actually pick up the phone and speak to me. But that's just the way I'm happier doing it from now at the moment. I do believe that we all buy and own too much stuff. And I believe that online selling creates that kind of mania of, oh, I have to have it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get so many messages. Like last night I did a try-on session of things, and the messages all night were pinging in. Oh, I'll phone you tomorrow and buy it. Like 10% of the people who said, oh, keep me a size 12 in that, or keep me a size 16 in that, I'm definitely getting that. 10% will actually come and buy it. But I'm quite happier doing it that way than selling loads on a swipe up.
Whereas
click.
If they had the functionality to swipe up and buy instantly from Instagram, you might get 60% of the people if they're going to buy.
Yes. But would then 30% of them or 60% of them return it?
Well, there are really high return rates.
They're really high return rates. And we're a boutique. Like, we don't carry a huge amount of anything. We carry a huge amount of stock, but not of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's different if you're, ASOS or whatever, and you're getting a large number of returns, it's okay. You can sell it again, or you haven't missed out a sale. Whereas in a boutique level, I'll have missed out a sale in store.
I get you. So if somebody buys four dresses in a size 12 and then returns three of them, in the meantime, four people have come in looking for that dress.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I say, no, sorry, all my 12s are gone. So, you know, that's the other thing is like, I see a lot of influencers or whatever saying, oh, putting up themselves, a picture of themselves in a dress and then 10 minutes later, a picture of the shop saying sold out.
I always think that's lies. That always annoys me so much. Like,
it drives me mad because the other thing, again, it's not, it can, I don't know, maybe it's sold out, fine. But the thing to remember is we might have five of that dress.
Yeah.
We don't have 10 in every size. We have one in every size. We might have two in every size. Occasionally, if we think it's going to be a huge seller, we might buy three in a size.
I mean, you know, but not even 10 in a size. Like when you're talking about something like H&M or the Behemoth and ASOS, you're talking about 1,000 in a
thousands
size.
Thousands in size. Yeah.
Like they're ordering these massive quantities of clothing.
Huge quantities.
And I do think you're right in that the more convenient we make shopping,
the more people will shop.
Yes. And like, there is a positive aspect to making shopping more accessible for people who have busy lives or who don't want to spend their weekends shopping. Yeah. I remember reading something a couple of years ago about how the most popular thing to do for families on a Sunday is to go to a shopping centre, which I found very depressing.
Wow. That is.
Yeah, it's kind of grim. Yeah. Like, so, you know, even though you're making it more convenient, I don't know, like, do I think it's any better if you're sitting at home buying those things online than going to the, I mean, I don't want you to go to the shopping centre anyway. Well, or the pub, which, like, where do I want you to go with your kids?
Walking around Kentucky or somewhere nice.
But I remember reading, there's a book called, I think it's Luxury by Dana Thomas, or it might have been another one. I read a couple of kind of books on fast fashion and ethical fashion. And I mean, that's not to say that all of them have taught me really important lessons, because right now I'm wearing jeans by Marks & Spencer and a jumper from H&M. So I'm not perfect by any means.
Did you not dress up in your Vanity Fair clothes for me, no?
Well, I would have. I would have if we were going. Like, I did. I did when I came down.
You did.
Nessa did an event a couple of weeks ago called No Filter. That was kind of designed to be the kind of anti bloggers' day out, wasn't it? In a way, and I did dress up in Vanity Fair.
You did.
I was the best girl.
Best girl.
But in this book, I remember reading that in the '50s, I think it was, people spent something. I think the figure was 11%. I'll try and find the exact figure and put it in the show notes. But 11% of their income went on clothing, and they owned an average of 20 items, say.
Yeah.
Whereas now we spend something like 5% of our income on clothing and we own an average of 70 items per person.
Yeah.
Which is
ridiculous.
Really ridiculous, but like, also totally understandable, because as things have gotten cheaper and cheaper, we've had this race to the bottom.
Yes.
And people are getting much more.
And clothing,
I suppose, like sociable, but also we're sharing pictures of ourselves on social media, and there's this kind of pressure.
Don't start with that. Can't be seen twice in the one thing.
Well, I mean, there is this kind of, and when I was younger, I kind of would have thought that too, that I would have gone, oh, I can't wear that out because I wore it last weekend and that picture's on Facebook. Do you know what I mean? So, like when I was younger, I'm talking when I was 19, you know, like when I was a child, ostensibly. And I definitely don't think that anymore. But I think there are a lot of people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who do think like that. And you have a kind of a weird shame. Like, you know those articles you see where it's like Kate Middleton's recycling her dress? And you're and she's not recycling it. She's just wearing it
again.
Yeah.
I know. And they make a big deal and applaud her. Like, it's just, I don't know. You see, to me, I suppose, I didn't fully get when I started on social media, which was only, I mean, we had the Facebook page and whatever, you know, and we put up pictures that suppliers gave us. But I didn't really start properly on social media. It's just, I know, nearly 3 years ago, over 2 years ago. And it was absolutely I was like, oh my God, this is what's wrong with my business. Like, I didn't understand it fully, that there was this whole thing of, you know, you buy something, you wear it once and then you buy another thing. And the amount of stuff that people were showing you in these shopping halls and stuff and finding things that they bought last month and still had the tag on and sell it on my Depop. And I was like, what? And then I realized, well, this is what the general public are being fed. Like, this is what they're seeing. This is what they think is normal. And it isn't normal. Well, it's not my normal. I don't know. My mother just, and my sisters are, people I surrounded myself with just never behaved like that. So it was really eye-opening to me. And I kind of tried to use my social media then to kind of say, this isn't, you don't have to do this. You know, you don't have to buy a new top every time you leave the house. You can wear the same thing twice. Or 5 times. Or 30 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know it's weird. Like, I mean, I'd say my accountant wishes I was much more money driven than I am. But I'm not. And selling a whole load of things online just has no appeal to me. I love meeting people. I'm in retail for its social aspect. Now, look, anyone who works in retail or with the public will tell you half the time they drive you mad. But
Yeah.
there's nothing like seeing someone coming in and saying, you know, I really hate shopping. I haven't worn a dress. I don't want to do this. I'm really nervous. I don't, you know, and seeing them literally fall in love with themselves in the fitting room mirror. Like it's you don't get that.
I worked in retail for a couple of years, and not in the boutique sense. I worked in Zara for a while. I worked in Urban Outfitters for a while. Yeah. I worked in Brian Thomas for a while. And now that I work for an online retailer, there's such a stark difference in the experience of working there. Because when I worked in retail, I really felt like I could have worked in a cafe. I could have worked in maybe like a post office. Like it was much more, it's customer facing, it's customer service.
Yes, yeah.
And essentially what you're doing is you're connecting and communicating with people all day.
Yeah.
Whereas now what I'm doing, I'm not anywhere near the customer experience. I'm communicating and connecting with a platform that then communicates and connects with a customer. Yeah. You're always a couple of degrees removed. And it is very, very different. Like I loved working in retail, in shops, because I loved getting to know people who would come in over and over again.
Yes.
Even like when I worked in my local Spar, it was just a really nice atmosphere because you knew people, you knew when they were coming in, you kept them their paper, whatever
it
was.
And it helps as well because like when I go buying, I buy a huge amount of stock every year. When I go buying, I kind of know who I'm buying it for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know that if I was...
Well, I suppose you would know, but in a different way.
In a different way.
So, you know, you would be going, oh, great, I'm going to sell 100 of these to these nameless, faceless people who buy all my stock. And, and I mean, you know, nowadays it's easier to have an idea of who's buying your stock because you might see them tagging you on Instagram. You might see them engaging with you. But yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You don't get to, I think, appreciate people's concerns. So you might go, I really don't know why I sold so many of that dress. It did really, really well. Whereas you actually know, I know I sold that because it's got slightly bigger armholes.
Yeah.
And when you're a size 16, one of the biggest things is like buying strapless or like sleeveless dresses that have teeny tiny armholes that are designed for a size 8 person and the rest of it's for a size 16.
And
it's
and it hasn't been like graded up properly. Yeah, I know.
So what's your own personal attitude to shopping and fashion? Like how do you shop? Do you shop online? And how do you... How often do you buy new things and what do you do with, like, how do you recycle your old things? What's your kind of circular...
Well, since I bought Vanity Fair and now I own a clothes shop, I don't really have to do much shopping anymore. So, because I bought, as I say, I bought all the clothes in Vanity Fair, they're all mine anyway. So, but at the beginning of each season, I would just take maybe, like, and I mean, I own the shop, so I'm not, you know, having to hand over actual hard-earned cash for this, so it's easier for me to do. But
I'm sure your accountant, if he or she is listening to this, is like, no, but you're taking it from yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, these things aren't free in
hand. Yeah, I know. You're depriving yourself of the sale of this. But I do, I take maybe 6, 7, up to 10 outfits or dresses or whatever that I will wear for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I will wear them and wear them and wear them and wear them and wear them. And that's really what my girls in the shop do as well. They don't do an awful lot of clothes shopping themselves either. We wear what we get at the beginning of the season and we'll wear it to death, like literally.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's what people are supposed to do. I don't need a new top every week. I don't want a new top every week, you know. But I do like to look nice and I kind of have to look nice in work anyway.
Yeah.
So I do want to wear nice things and have nice things, but wear them.
And I mean also, like there is, let's not forget, you own a boutique, you work in that boutique, you have customers in that boutique.
Yeah.
You don't want to be wearing an outfit from Next.
No.
You know, and somebody go, where's that lovely dress from? And you're like, oh, got it on Next. You can get one yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
the only reason that, to be honest, I would take even less, but what happens then when something sells out and I've taken and then it's gone, if I wear it, and then customers will say, oh, where's your dress? I love your dress. So you kind of have to kind of wear stuff that's on the shop floor as well.
I get you, you know? And so do you try to think strategically in a way and go, I'm going to wear this thing that maybe wouldn't necessarily jump off the shelves of people, but that is gorgeous on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I do kind of look at certain things. Yeah, I think definitely that would. I've wondered sometimes as well, should I wear things that aren't selling very well? But I haven't gone down that road yet. But yeah, that is something that, like, possibly that is the way I should look at it, you know.
But like anything, I think the more you try to be strategic with these displays of authenticity, the more... And apparent it is that you're not being authentic anymore.
Exactly. And I'm not very good at playing games with
people. I think we'd probably be quite similar in that. I have the kind of odd moments where I go, oh, I should try to put more of these photos on Instagram because they do better, or I should try to talk about this or not talk about this. And then the next day I've forgotten.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, oh, that's just...
Oh, I can't be bothered.
I just can't be bothered kind of playing that game.
Yeah. I would be like that too.
And do people ask you a lot about selling online, like from your social media? Because, I mean... I guess the confusion or the sticking point for me is that you're so into and involved in social media, which would imply you should therefore have an online shop. That makes sense, that you're funneling people through, but you're really trying to take your conversions offline.
Exactly.
Which is really difficult, and it's really hard to track as well.
It is. But I am really trying to get people into the shop, or at least speak to me over the phone and make sure that you're... But you see, I also believe that online and the whole thing, like if you look at the banks or if you look at so many different industries, the supermarkets, I believe that it online as a thing in all types of selling is leading to loss of jobs and predominantly female jobs. It is affecting female jobs mainly, you know. So all those self-scan things in supermarkets, I do my best not to use them. I rarely use them. I would prefer to go to the... woman, and if it means I have to wait for three people in front of me, that's okay. Like it's what, 5 minutes, like, you know, I would prefer her to keep her job, like, because where are these women going to work? Not everyone can have a high-flying, you know, CEO career that needed 5 degrees behind the, you know, some people need to work and just need,
need to work
part-time,
the bank, need to work in the shop.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about what will happen in 50 or 60 years when things are much more AI driven. So when we need fewer people, even to do like accounting and analysis and all these different jobs, I wonder if, like, economically you would think ideally that actually fewer people would have to work, but they would still have an income, maybe from the government, maybe fewer people have to work and taxes get higher, and then, like, the government pays more in social welfare. But I don't know if that's very socialist, and that's kind of my ideal scenario where I'm like, well, the robots are going to take over and that's just going to give us more time off.
But at the same wage. They're not going to do that because people need money to be able to survive. So they have to kind of work on some level at some point. You know, governments aren't going to... I don't know why people haven't, or who is in charge of us and why they haven't thought about this, because... to me, it doesn't make sense. To me, all I see in, like, you go to the airport, you have to check in your own bag now. There's like two people there now standing there rather than 30 women sitting behind a desk.
Yeah.
There's now two.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess when we get rid of everybody in the bank, it's not that all the money the bank is making is going to be then divvied out among us.
No, it's just not going to be shared equally among the rest of us.
Really,
like,
rich,
I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't see how the future is going to work. Really, I really don't, like...
Well, with any luck, we'll have a catastrophic climate event
hopefully.
In the meantime, and
well,
then we don't have to worry
about
it.
That's probably imminent anyways. So
what do you... So do you not bank online? Do you not shop online?
I do bank online, yes. I don't shop online. I do bank online, yeah. We still have our... What are they called now? Relationship people in the bank who I would go to for loans.
Relationship manager?
Yeah, relationship manager. And she's lovely, and we go, we meet her twice a year for a stocking loan and that. But yeah, no, I suppose we'll be very banking. But again, that's not by choice. If it wasn't available to me, I'd be quite happy to go up to the bank.
Yeah.
You know?
But banks in Ireland, I think, are funny as well because they keep such shit hours. Like, I remember a friend of mine saying, a friend of mine works in Facebook, and obviously they have a huge number of French and German and Iranian staff. And she said that one of the big things that new starters often ask about is, like, how am I supposed to go to the bank? Because they're like, it's closed at lunch. It's closed after work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's open at lunch, but it's, you know, only opens at 10, closes at 4. And they're like, when am I supposed to go to the bank? She's like, you go on your break. Like, you run at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And the nearest one is a 20-minute walk away, and you go, and then, you know, and they're not open at weekends.
No, I mean, definitely, you know, the whole online thing has made life much more convenient and simple and easier, and you can do things now. You know, someone said to me the other day when I put up a thing about online selling, she said, I would love to be able to buy your clothes. I'm sitting in the airport waiting to board a plane, because that's literally what my life is like. I'm constantly in airports, you know, traveling for work. I just can't phone you to order. And I get that, but... until the day I actually, like, really, really, really am on my knees, I'm not going to sell online.
And do you think that day will be literally, we're not making enough money to cover our rent? You know, because obviously you could do it now in the sense you could go, we could double our yeah. profits by going online.
Yeah.
And that's a very, like, that's a keen driver for a lot of people. Yeah. That would be the motivation. But for you, is it really going, I'm not doing it until I have no other choice?
I'm not doing it until I have no other choice. Because there's 11 of us in Vanity Fair. And they're all part-time. I'm kind of 7 days a week, but all the rest are part-time. But I know that if we were to sell online, we would have less people coming to our doors. I know we would.
Yeah. But I mean, you would also probably have two or three of those women hating their jobs, working in the back office and packing boxes.
Absolutely. This is the other thing. Like, my girls come to work. They absolutely love, they really do love coming into work. And I know that if I was to say to two of them, listen, your job has changed. You're no longer working on the floor. Will you go into that stockroom there and pack up all those orders? Here's a printout. Like, what can, I don't know. It's just not... It's just not the same thing.
Well, it's not what you signed up for.
No, it's not. It? Yeah, no, it's not. And I just don't. No, I'm just not doing it. Not doing it. I'm just stubborn. I'm not doing it.
And just to go back to slightly, you were saying that you will buy kind of 6 or 7 up to 10 items per season. Season's kind of twice a year.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with your old clothes?
I give it to charity mainly, or I started this thing on Snapchat 2 years ago where I give it for the 12 days of Christmas. I give away one of my favourite outfits to followers. So I did that on Instagram this year. It was hilarious. But anyway, it was much easier to manage on Snapchat because there was a lot fewer people on Snapchat. Yeah, yeah. So it was a bit crazy on Instagram last Christmas. But yeah, I give, like, I have two sisters and I have a mother, you know, so they're constantly taking things from me, and I have friends who are like, can I have that when you're, you know, so it doesn't get thrown in a bin or anything. No.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I mean, I think kind of 10 years ago, I used to work at the Irish Times. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. I used to work at the Irish Times and I used to write fashion. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote fashion, I used to get a lot of, like, anytime I did anything kind of public facing, if I was on TV or if I did photographs, I would get...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I mean, like I say a lot, it felt like a lot. I would probably get a lot of positive comments, and then I would get the odd one saying, I can't believe you write about fashion today to you, you know, this kind of thing that I really object to from a kind of, I think it's very gendered, and it's very, there's a really misogynistic undertone to the criticism of women in fashion for not looking a certain way that men in sports don't get, for example.
Absolutely.
So you'd have like a very overweight, sedentary man working on the sports desk and nobody saying to him, what do you know about football?
Yeah.
But anyway, I used to feel a lot of pressure to keep my wardrobe updated and to try to channel quote unquote trends, none of which I do anymore because I don't do that anymore. And I also just grew really tired of it. And then I kind of downsized my wardrobe. So I consign a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I resell a lot of clothes, but I've also lately started, which is kind of the bane of my life, but I've started hand washing an awful lot of my stuff.
All right.
Because I kind of hadn't realized how much the washing machine destroys things.
Absolutely wrecks them. Yeah.
So like, especially if I buy something cheap, and by cheap I mean if I buy something from H&M or from Penny's, which I kind of still do occasionally because I love it, and I'll go, you know what, that's like, it kind of, I have the thing in the back of my head. My sister's a fashion designer, and I remember when she was first starting out.
Oh my god.
And when she was first starting out, my mom used to pick up things in Penny's and go, how is Beatrice ever going to make a living when this is 11 euro?
Yes.
So I have that in the back of my head all the time. I'm like, who made this and how much are they getting paid?
Have you ever watched The True Cost?
Yes, of course I have.
It just ruins
fast fashion would be ruined for you.
I could never set foot inside a door of a fast fashion retailer and spend money in there after watching that. I just couldn't do it.
You know what, I'm very torn about this because on the one hand, I'm like, yes, in an ideal scenario, we would all be paying much more for our clothing, valuing them much, much more, and the people at the bottom of that food chain would be getting paid a lot more. Yeah. I think there are a lot of arguments to be made. Like when you see interviews with the CEOs of H&M and they talk about how they're really trying to hit this objective by 2040 or whatever. And you're like, well, your profits were X amount last year, so you could hit that goal today if you just lowered the amount that you're paying your board.
Yeah.
So there are all these things where you're like, somebody's getting really, really rich off this person getting even poorer. But at the same time, I do think it's good that fashion, in the sense that the super rich have access to trends and to fashion and to self-expression via clothing, I think there is an argument to be made for the democratization of those trends and allowing people on much lower incomes to have somewhere to shop.
Yeah, I
think that's
that.
Important because we do live in a society, whether we like it or not, where people like to have new things and people are like to feel like they're fashionable. So I do think it's good that they allow that. And I also think there's an argument to be made that if you shut down Penny's tomorrow, a lot of people might starve. Do you know what I mean? That a lot of people are working in factories that are dependent on. So I would never kind of say, let's advocate a boycott. But I do think it's important to talk about the issues and to try
There's just too many of them, I think, improvements. Really, I think that's the problem. There's too many.
Oh, there's too many fast fashion retailers.
Yeah, and it's 100%. Like a race to the bottom. They're all competing with each other. And it's just like, how cheap can we get this thing out? And it's just, there's too many of them, you know?
Yeah, and then they're moving, like, you hear these stories about moving their factories from Bangladesh because Bangladesh has suddenly got unions or something horrific. And then they're moving their factories to Pakistan. And it's just awful. Instead of kind of going, we are going to allow our staff to unionize, they're going, well, where can we get this cheaper?
But it's terrible. But and people have become obsessed with, and I know that money is tight and we've just been through a shit time and an awful recession, blah blah blah, and all that. I get that. I'm not rich, like, you know. I own a boutique, but I
You'd be richer if you went online.
I would, but you know, like, it's not. I'm not making big money. I would be much better off if I had a job. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Much better off. So I get that money is tight for people. I understand that, but at the same time, people seem to be overly obsessed with getting things for as cheap as they possibly can,
but also getting things full stop.
And
like accumulating things.
Accumulating as much stuff as they can and getting it for as cheap as they can and getting discount codes and, oh my God, like, just stop, you know, stop. Just have less and enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, I sound very preachy now.
No, but I mean, I think there is something to be said for, we have lost the idea of valuing our things.
Yeah, we have, like, definitely.
Obviously, the easier you get something, the easier it is to drop it and not
exactly,
care. So like when somebody drops their phone and smashes the screen, we're all raging. So you're like, that costs me 800. Like, that's really expensive. And even if, you know, you think it costs you 200 euro, it costs you 800 euro in the long run because your bill is like 365 months long, you know, your contract. But what I was going to say about hand washing is that now the odd time that I'll buy like a knit or something from, it's mostly kind of knitwear that I'd buy from Penny's or H&M because I like their like oversized jumpers and they're handy and they're easy. I don't need to try them. I hate trying things on in shops except for yours.
Thank you.
Because everyone's nice. Well, no, also I find like the mirrors in Zara are very unforgiving. And then also changing rooms these days are oppressively small.
But they're trying, so hot. They're actually trying to get you out of the shops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've spoken to people who work in Zara and places, and they've, you know, interacted with me on social media. They're, like, nearly instructed to tell the customer to go online. They actually don't want you in their shops. They want you to buy the stuff online. So they make it, I think, as uncomfortable for you to be in their store as they can.
It's just so hot. But I will hand wash all my cheap knitwear now. And, like, it is a pain in the arse. I hate hand washing.
It takes so long.
I hate drying things. But it does, like, I find that it makes things last a lot longer.
Definitely.
And I also try not to wash things when I can avoid it.
That's the other thing. You like, don't have to wash things every time you wear it.
Yeah. Like, you do get the paranoia sometimes where you're like, oh, am I a bit smelly? You know, if you're sweaty or if it's a really hot day, you're just like, oh, is that a bit...
Gym gear probably needs to be washed every time.
Yeah, 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 for
but
sure.
I mean,
and like skinny jeans. Well, skinny jeans, not every time.
Not every time.
No. But I'd say like 3 or 4 wears.
Yeah.
Depends on how tight they are though as well. It can kind of get a bit
grim. I don't own a pair of skinny jeans. So I don't know.
Tell me about the No Filter event and why you decided to do that.
Oh God. Why did I decide to do that?
Have you been asking yourself that question ever since?
Yeah. No. Again, I think a lot of boutiques have fashion shows. It will be a normal thing. We've never had one. And we had a when I started on social media a couple of years ago, people on Snapchat were saying, have a fashion show. I was like, So I did a little one in the shop and just kind of invited local businesses in after work and whatever, blah, 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 about 2 years ago. And it was grand. It was great. But I kind of wanted to do a proper one, but yet I didn't want it to be just a fashion show.
Mm.
And yet I didn't want it to be like the workshops and the blogger day out thing either. So I wanted to do something that was kind of a little bit different. So I didn't do the goodie bag and I didn't do all the usual trimmings that come along with the bloggers days out. But yet it was more than just a fashion show of this is what we have this season and here are models walking up and down a ramp and you can look at it.
Mm.
But it was a great day. I had a great time.
I know.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I was talking to somebody afterwards about it who was kind of going, and like what happened? I think it was my mom maybe. It was like, what happened for the whole day? You know, like sometimes you can't visualize how somebody would fit a 4 hour.
How
they'd fill your 4 hours. And I was telling her about like two of the things I really liked were there were two fashion segments, one of which was where you showed the same outfit on, I think, four or five different women of four or five different heights and body shapes and boob sizes and bum sizes. And that was really interesting to me because I think a lot of the messages that we receive regarding fashion and clothing and what's appropriate for our shapes and sizes is very kind of oppressive, where it's like
you can
wear this because you have boobs and you can't.
I hate that. You might know by now at this stage that I don't really like rules. I don't like anyone telling me what I can and can't do. And I don't tell anybody else what they can and can't do, you know. So I hate the general rules around body types. There are five body types. Like, are you actually having a laugh? There are five body types? Like, please, you know.
Yeah.
There are millions of no two people have the same body.
Yeah.
There are millions and millions and millions of body types.
Well,
you know?
I'd say two of the Kardashians probably have the same body now.
Maybe. but you know what I mean? So, I mean, why people think, oh, I have big boobs, so I have to wear a V-neck. You don't actually. Mm. You don't have to wear a V-neck. Or I have to wear a wrap dress with the low cut. They really suit me. Okay, they suit you. But you don't have to wear them for the rest of your life. Mm. You can also wear a loose, oversized top.
But the whole,
if you want to.
I think the whole concept
that,
of, you
know, that it goes up high, you know, it's not.
That whole idea of this does or doesn't suit me is 100% couched in fat phobia, where it's the whole idea that this suits you because it makes you look slimmer.
Thinner.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh my God.
And like, that's something that I find is really, like really problematic, but also just really limiting.
Really limiting.
Where
really limiting.
Because I'm a fan of a muumuu. Like, I'm a fan of a big flowing smock dress and jumper.
Yeah.
And I wear them a lot. And then sometimes my friends, if I wear something tight, will go, oh my God, you look so slim. You look great.
Yeah,
like, that looks much better.
Yeah. Well.
And I'm like, I actually don't care. Like, my aim in the morning isn't.
Not.
And I mean, it's funny because it probably was at one stage. And I remember saying to my dad one day when I lived at home, I got dressed. I don't know what I was wearing. I got dressed in something and I said, is this nice on me? And my dad said, yeah, it's lovely. And I said, but does it make me look thin? And he said, Rosemary, it makes you look exactly like you look. And at the time I was really offended that I was like, what a bastard. Such a rude thing to say. He's calling me fat because like I was and I'm a bit chubby. But then I was like, actually, he's totally right. Like, clothing is not like Harry Potter's invisible cape.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have the ability to change your body entirely.
I talk about this a lot on social media as well. And people will say to me, yeah, Nessa, that's all very well for you to say. But at the end of the day, I feel better. You know, so I would say, it doesn't matter how something makes you look, it's how it makes you feel. You know, do you love it? Do you love the fabric? Do you love the colour? Do you love, you know, have you always wanted to wear something like that? And have you tried it on now? And do you love yourself in it? Well, wear it. And they're like, yeah, that's all very well to say, but I feel better when I look slimmer.
When I look slimmer, yeah. And I mean, like, I think that's quite a brave thing to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that as well, like the majority of women, I'd say, would probably agree with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing is to know where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So to go, it's not that like automatically,
life
inherently.
Life isn't going to be better. You're not going to have a better day just because you look slimmer.
We're not born instinctually going, things are better when you look slimmer. Like drilled into us by culture and society.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it's really important to be aware of that. And I've seen a lot of, you know, influencers will do these like, here's a picture I didn't want to share on Instagram versus the perfect picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of had conversations with people where I'm like, yeah, like fine, but actually it would be more beneficial to put up the quote unquote imperfect picture and say nothing.
And just say nothing.
And just be like, here I am in my bikini, here I am in my dress, whatever it is, rather than going, I didn't want to put this up because I had stretch marks because
I
had this and
really
I had that.
It's really important to like, I know, it's kind of making me deal.
And they'll often be like, I'm showing you the real me.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel like, why the fuck weren't you showing us the real you all along?
All along.
Because you've been creating this problem. Like when they're like, Instagram versus reality.
I know.
And like, yeah. But also Instagram is reality now. But the second segment that I really liked as well was the segment that one of your girls, whose name I've forgotten, is it Ruth, did on going away for a weekend. So your capsule wardrobe.
Amy.
So your capsule wardrobe, where she picked kind of 7 items for a weekend, and then I think it was 10 items for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very usable.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was quite nice. And kind of reminded me of, do you remember when women's magazines, which I still love despite myself, some of them. Mm-hmm. Remember when women's magazines used to do stuff like that, where it would be, you know, here's how to go on a weekend away with 5 items.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's so much more, well, it's so much more competitive. It's so much more advertiser driven
mm-hmm.
that it's more like, here are all the 50 things you need for your holiday.
Yeah.
And it's really changed. Whereas, but it reminded me of that kind of useful, like cut out and keep, here's how to make
because
your capsule wardrobe.
Because things as well, I think when people buy a thing for a certain wear, you know, for it, be it an occasion or be it to just be a pair of jeans to slob around the house in or be a pair of jeans to go out in, that they're different person, and they don't have to be, you know.
You can
buy a dress for an occasion and you can wear it then again in lots of different ways, you know. So it was kind of trying to show that just because you're buying these white jeans, you can wear them with a this, you can wear them with a that, you can wear them, you know, you can wear them with like shoes and accessories really transform anything, any item of clothing into a different look. So
yeah,
that was what we were trying to do there.
Well, it's kind of the anti this is for good wear idea.
Yes,
you know, like, this is for everyday wear
thing. Yeah, my
you
mother never
funny?
Had anything for good wear. She wore everything.
I don't think my mom had anything for good wear.
And we never had
just
that.
More that she was very casual all the time. So I don't think.
My mother was a teacher, I suppose, so she kind of dressed up a little bit, I suppose.
For work,
So she always wore all her clothes.
Whereas my mom ran a play school. So I think she was a bit more casual,
right?
Like knowing she was going to come home covered in Play-Doh and
Play-Doh
chalk and whatever. And
maybe vomit as well.
Gross. Yeah. I was thinking about that in terms of kind of good wear with myself, because I know when I came into Vanity Fair the first time, I was just starting a new job and I'd been told that it was kind of, I think, like business casual or maybe like semi-formal. And I was like, oh my God, I've nothing. All I have is Jeans or Wonders, which is true. And I picked up a lot of things. And then I got in and I realized, actually, it is really casual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got in and I kind of went, hang on, some people are very dressed up, but that man over there is wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that man, you know what I mean?
And
actually, like, it did seem to be there was a kind of a gender divide where a lot of the women would dress up and a lot of the men were very casual. And then I went, fuck it, I'm just going to wear my jeans and runners. And it was funny that after a couple of weeks, I kind of went, oh my God, I can't go back to wearing my nice dress because I'm now, it'll look weird. Like, people will notice
people
and go, well, you're all dressed
dressing up. Yeah.
And then I just went, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And so now I have days where I'm tired. And I mean, like maybe I'm doing myself a disservice in a way that I'm sure my boss is like, oh, Rosemary's having a lazy day when I show up, you know what I mean, in like an oversized jumper and jeans and runners. And then other days I'll be wearing a dress and a pair of boots
and he's like, she's gonna kill it today.
Yeah. Or like one of the guys in work last week, I think I was fixing my lipstick or something, and he went, oh, you have a date? And it was literally 2 p.m.
oh my God,
right? And I was like, what do you mean I have it? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, like, I'm just fixing my lipstick. Whereas I think because 5 days out of 7 I don't wear lipstick, he was like, oh, this is unusual.
Something happening here today.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Like, I think that freedom is hard to find. You know, the idea that you can wear whatever you feel like wearing.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel very limited by, oh no, I wear, this is what I wear to work, this is what I wear on Sundays, this is what I wear to my parents.
Yeah. They pigeonhole, the same way people want you to pigeonhole body shapes and pigeonhole this colour me beautiful thing that you can't wear certain colours and like, oh, please stop. They also pigeonhole clothes that this is for wearing here and this is for wearing there.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's just for wearing whatever you want to wear it.
Is there anything, I mean, so you've talked a lot on social media and you talked at that event about how you yourself really enjoy kind of experimenting with fashion and
love
you'll wear
clothes,
anything and you love wearing oversized things and you'll wear more fitted things.
Yeah.
And I mean, it should probably be acknowledged as well that you come from a place of thin privilege where you're size 12, 14. So you're not kind of saying, oh, you should do like me because everything's great. Like, you know, you're going like, I know it's technically easier for me because you fit into straight sizes. But is there anything that you don't like wearing yourself? Like, not necessarily that you think it doesn't suit you, not necessarily that you think it's not your colour, but is there anything that you're just like, oh, I just don't like that style? Do you
know
what I mean?
I don't like wearing boring clothes. Like, I don't like wearing, but I don't. Like, I don't like wearing, I don't like wearing clothes that are just, I love print.
I'm suddenly really conscious that I'm wearing like blue jeans and an oversized grey jumper. So like, you wouldn't wear this. You won't insult me.
No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
I just wouldn't be excited by it. Like,
well, I mean, I'm not excited about it. I'm just really comfy.
But I like to be excited by my clothes. I really do. Like, I just have a problem like that. I liked it. Like, no, I only wear jeans or a tracksuit and fleece when I'm out doing my hat work, dyeing my hats and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because you do millinery as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. For a second I was like, hat work? I thought you meant like hard hat work. And I was like, oh, you're a builder on the side.
No, when I'm dyeing up cinema, I will wear boring clothes then.
And when you come home from work, mm-hmm. I always find this kind of interesting, although maybe it's not. Do you stay in your clothes, like in the clothes that you've been wearing all day, or do you get into like leggings and a t-shirt?
I get into jeans and a top.
Okay.
Like I'm wearing today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this is very dressed up. For me, I'm like, this is very dressed up.
Or else if I'm going out doing my hat work, my hard hat building side work, my millinery work, I'll just get into a tracksuit and a fleece. Yeah. So I'm not always. I'm kind of either one or the other. I'm dressed up, or I'm like a slob, one or the other.
But I mean, there isn't any particular item or style that you don't like.
I don't really like plain coloured fitted dresses.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, you wouldn't be a Victoria Beckham, Rolla Murray.
No.
Like not, tailoring.
Not for myself.
You know what I mean? Yourself.
Not for myself.
That's what we're talking about.
I love to look on other people. Yeah. But no, they just wouldn't. They don't speak.
You wouldn't be wearing like a chic blazer with a with a beige and blue look.
No.
Yeah. No, no beige.
No beige.
Nessa, thank you so much
for coming in
to talk to me on How to Be Sound. I think there's a really fascinating...
Did I teach you how to be sound? No, there's absolutely nothing sound about me.
No, well, I mean, I think any of these conversations that we have about ethical fashion and shopping and online shopping, there's a lot of food for thought. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, I do kind of have this moment where I'm like, oh God, I feel really guilty about all that shit in my wardrobe. But I'm not going to show Nessa. But then I think it's a really important conversation to have, and it's an important conversation to keep having going forward. And, you know, I think the danger with thinking about ethical and sustainable shopping is that we feel as if we have to do all or nothing.
Yes.
And that's kind of why I try to let myself off the hook about the fact that I buy a Penny's jumper, because my main rule now is I will buy something on the high street if I really love it and I feel like I will still be wearing it in a year.
And that's
and then I will look after it.
That's perfect.
Whereas what I used to do is to buy a top for Friday and go, I'll just wear this tonight. And it, like, it doesn't matter if I never wear
that
it again.
That is not perfect.
No. Whereas that's really what I'm trying not to do.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a kind of a consensus that we have to be perfect and that people feel like, well, there's no point in thinking about ethics or sustainability
if I'm
shopping in Penny's.
Yeah.
But you can do both.
You can, of course.
Yeah. And it's kind of about these baby steps. So I do think there is a kind of a lesson on how to be sound for everyone in kind of opening up these discussions and having these chats. Mm-hmm. Where can people get in touch with you? They cannot shop on your website, but they can see it at...
We do have a website, fantyfair.ie. It just shows a tiny, tiny, tiny little... It's mainly only just to show the labels that we carry. And again, not even every label is up on the website, but anyway. But there'll be a small selection of the kind of looks that we do, say, and the brands that we carry. And then on Instagram at fantyfairboutique, I will show. But again, I rarely use the grid. It's mainly stories.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I've noticed, because I tried to look back in the grid to see there was a dress you showed in stories, and I tried to look back in the grid to see if it was there, and I was like, why hasn't she got this dress?
I know, Maybe I should start using the grid more. I don't know.
I mean, like not that you've asked for my advice, but my advice.
Okay, well, give me your advice, Rosemary.
When you're doing your try-on sessions, that you should even snap all the stuff you're trying on, not even on you, but just on the thing, and then put like on the rack, and then put up a gallery of, here are the 10 items we got in today. Do you know what I mean? Just so people can refer back and go, oh yeah, like I like that, I don't like that, I like that, whatever. Okay. I know you don't want people to tell you what they like and don't like.
I think I misunderstood about that.
So Nessa, when she's been doing these try on things, like you've basically said, I don't want to know if you don't like this.
Yeah.
Which is
fair. I don't mean that in a rude way.
But
what I mean is, how am I supposed to answer that? Like I get comments where, you know, where people will say, that's lovely on her. I like that comment. That's dreadful on her. I like that comment. Get that off her. That's terrible. No, that makes her look too big. Yes, that's very slimming on her. And it's like a running commentary of things. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with it? You know, like it doesn't. I'm doing this so that you will see if you would like that on you.
Mm.
I don't really need to know. And again, I don't mean to sound rude, but I don't really need to know. How you feel about it on her.
Because
that really doesn't matter, because you mightn't like it on her, but somebody else will like it on her. And not everybody is going to like everything that everybody wears, you know. And that isn't what's important anyway. It's only the function of it. Yeah, it's only about the person wearing the thing. So it doesn't matter if you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
matter.
I mean, I totally
and
get
I
it.
And I don't know how to respond. I'm like, okay, thanks for that feedback. What am I supposed to do with that? Like,
thanks for that, Susan. I had an argument with somebody recently when I put up actually a jumpsuit that I had gotten Vanity Fair.
I know, and you and went to somebody, town on her.
Somebody else said this to me and I was like, I feel like I was very measured. But somebody commented and said, I don't like this. And I basically said, basically I kind of said, well, you wouldn't say that to your friend. And she said, well, I mean, you're showing it to us. And I said, yeah, but like, I'm showing it to you in the same way that a colleague might walk into the room wearing something.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't then stand up and go, don't like that.
Yeah. In the office. By the way, I don't like your outfit today.
Yeah. And we had this kind of ridiculous back and forth. She was like, fine, I'll unfollow you. And I was like, that's not what I'm saying. And I was like, I'm not annoyed because I don't really care what you think.
I know.
But I just think it's worth kind of pointing out. And then she was like, I think you're being very condescending. And I was like, well, I kind of am because I'm basically going, you shouldn't do that anymore. Like, I'm trying to correct your behavior for you.
People have become much too opinionated, I think, and much too vocal about their opinions. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to like it. You can just think it in your head and move on. You don't have to let the person know.
Yeah, I think there's a really funny line. Like, people think that because they're entitled to their opinion, they're entitled to share that opinion with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, those aren't the same things.
Yeah,
like, you can have your opinion.
Have your opinion.
I can choose to not give a fuck about it.
Like, I have very strange opinions that I'm sure most people would think are weird and don't agree with, but they're mine and I'm not going to change them.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the need to constantly, you know, go around voicing them.
Yeah.
Because who cares what my opinions are?
Yeah.
Nobody.
And like, people will often complain about, oh, like, such and such deletes any negative comments. And you're like, because it's my Instagram.
Yeah.
Remember somebody said to me one day, like, you're impinging on my freedom of speech. And I was like, no, babe, you can go and you can be free to speak that on your own channel and on your own page.
Yeah.
I'm just taking it off mine.
Or pick up the phone and ring your friend and say, did you see the state of your woman today?
People, honestly, what's wrong with a good WhatsApp group? Because I feel like a lot of these women, not women, but like a lot of these people online who spend time criticizing other people, put it in WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I think it's just because they don't have enough mates who like care about bloggers.
Sister and say, did you see the state of Rosie McCabe today? You know, just do that. Like,
happy days. Or like, make a whole group giving out about Rosie McCabe if you want. As long as I don't have to hear about it. Anyway, sorry, that was a very long outro.
Okay, yes,
Nessa, thank you so much for taking the time.
Welcome.
People can find you Vanity Fair Boutique on Instagram. Vanity Fair Boutique on Facebook.
Vanity Fair
Newbridge,
I think on Facebook.
Okay. And they can call you if they see anything that they like and they wish to purchase.
And they can speak to me. They don't have to swipe up and click. They can get to talk to me.
They can get to talk to you. And so the moral of the story is support your local.
Support your local
high street, basically.
Yeah,
if you can.
Think it's important. I think it's important for employment. I think it's important for just social contact and for just like people. I get messages. You're never going to get rid of me, Rosemary. Longest, what's it called, an outro? No, but I do get messages like literally, and again, I don't share them. A lot of shops will share all the nice feedback that they get. I just feel a bit odd about that, but I do get messages literally every day. I could get 5, 6, 10, 12, 1 whatever messages saying, I was in your shop today, I can't express to you how much you know how much I was dreading it for a start, and how much it has meant to me and what it has done for me and blah blah blah. And it just is important, you know.
Yeah.
The world is getting less and less social, and little contacts like that between people are important. So get into your boutique and buy the clothes,
but not too many clothes you don't need.
Not too many clothes you don't need, just enough.
Fine line. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you all so much for listening to How to Be Sound. You can get in touch with me at Rosemary McCabe with an A in my Mac on pretty much all social platforms. Thank you so much to my producer, Liam Geraghty. His podcast, Meet Your Maker, you can find on meetyourmaker.ie or wherever you're listening to this podcast. His episodes are much shorter and more coherent than mine. And if you're into listening to how people make the things that you love, you will like Meet Your Maker. Once again, you can support me on Patreon, patreon.com/Rosemary McCabe with an A in my Mac. And I'll see you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.